This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to this edition of Healthy Matters. We're around, by the way, if you're visiting and new to the show, we've been around for how many years now, Dr.
Ten,
Hilden?
10 years, Danny.
Wow.
So we're about to – I appreciate you bringing that up. We are about to end our 10th year, so what does that make it? Our 11th birthday. But we spent this this year sort of celebrating 10 years on the air.
All right.
Boy,
yeah.
When I met you 10 years ago, do you remember that? I came here and you and I chatted. We did some practice runs here at the WCCO studios.
I told my bosses, this guy's good. He's the one. For the first time ever or since, they listened to me.
They listened to you. I appreciate it. Denny, you got me my start. It always takes somebody to stand up for you. I didn't know what I was doing, and I don't know if it's any better now, but it has been 10 years.
That's amazing.
And of doing the show, it's been a great 10 years. So in 2019, we'll start our 11th year. Hey, we're going to do an open line show,
yeah.
And we're going to answer your phone calls, listeners. But I wanted to say a couple things about some healthcare in the news. I was down in visiting my father-in-law this past week, and they brought us a little salad. And the salads were like 20 minutes late, and he said, "I'm sorry, we had to delay your salad. We had to throw out all the romaine lettuce, and we had to replace it with some other kind of lettuce." That brought me to thinking about the romaine lettuce recall of 2018. If you remember, listeners, back last spring there was a romaine lettuce recall because people were getting sick, and it's out there again. And I thought I'd just say a word about that. If you What is the bug that romaine lettuce had? It's not specific to lettuce. It can be in anything. It can be in any food, any meat, any food product, anything. It can be in water.
Can it be on hard surfaces?
It can be, yeah, and it can live on hard surfaces for a little while. So if your romaine lettuce touches your plate or whatever, even if you don't eat the lettuce, it's an E. coli. And E. coli is a bacteria that is everywhere. In fact, it is in the intestines of all of you. Mm. Everybody's got E. coli. There's hundreds of strains of it, though, and a couple of them cause you to be ill. So That's what the romaine lettuce thing was about. Fortunately, most people just get a diarrheal illness that goes away. And but for some, especially the very young and the very old, E. coli infections with this strain, which is usually entitled O157, can be quite serious and even lead to kidney failure. So if you get a diarrheal illness, maybe two or three days after eating romaine lettuce, you might want to have that checked out. You do not need antibiotics for this, however. That's maybe a little counterintuitive, but you don't need antibiotics for this romaine lettuce E. coli. In fact, antibiotics can make it worse. Ooh. It makes it worse. So that's that story. The other one, I just want to remind people, it's getting late to – you should get your flu shot. I know you should have got it a month ago, but it's not too late. You can get it all the way up into the January, February, March, but you should get it now. And remember, it's not just for you. You get the flu shot to protect your grandmother and your spouse and your grandchildren. So if you have not had your flu shot – and particularly if you are around older people or very young, you need to get your flu shot. It's not just for you. It's to protect others. That's my two messages for the day.
And they're good messages, too. By the way, if you're just joining us, it's an open line show, which means your phone calls and text messages will drive the show. 651-989-9226. I see a line open if you'd like to fill it. 651-989-9226. Or the text number. We're getting a bunch of those already at 81807. Let's go to the phones, doctor. Is it Miller? Miller's on the first line. Good morning. What can we do for you?
Good morning. About 40 years ago, I had my colon removed, and I get a ileoanal reservoir, I guess they call it J-pouch now. But I always, after that, I got so cold. And I'm a retired electrician, and 15 years ago, I got a pretty good shock. It went in one hand, went through my body, and went out the other hand. And my hands have been so cold since then. I have asked my doctors and the surgeons, well, they don't know why it is, but I have to almost wear gloves all the time because my hands are so cold. Could you maybe tell me the reason or another way I could stay warm besides wearing gloves all the time?
Before you go, now, first of all, as for the your colon, have you been cold since for 40 years since your colon surgery, or has it been since the electric incident?
Well, my body has been cold since I had the colon removed, but since I've had the electrical shock, my hands have been colder, and they're, I don't even dare shake hands with people.
Okay, I got it. So those, I have to say, are really perplexing to me. They're really perplexing, and I'll apologize in advance, Miller, for maybe not being able to have a good answer. I think it's almost certainly unlikely to anything with your colon. That seems to be more coincidental, if nothing else. Your colon, as important as it is and all the jobs it has, doesn't have a huge job in regulating your heat, except in that it does, your colon manages your water in your body. So I'm really putting a long stretch on this one, but it does manage the water that comes and goes of your body. Your colon absorbs water from your food and the water that you ingest. So if for some reason that were to lead to some volume problems, volume meaning fluid problems, but I think that that's unlikely. I think your colon issue, I'm having a hard time blaming on it. The electrical issue is intriguing. It reminds me of a day when I used to do safety checks on electrical equipment at Abbott Northwestern Hospital here in Minneapolis. And I remember I had a machine plugged into the wall. The plug clearly was not safe. It was my job to test it. But the plug came off and my fingers were holding the metal tabs that were still in the wall. And I got one of those little shocks in my hand. But as an electrician, you've probably experienced that more than me. And it went all the way through your body. An electrical shock to your body is, other than the burn on your skin, is mostly a problem with your heart and the rhythms in your heart. I'm also having a hard time linking your being cold to that. If, however, there were some damage to the nerves of your body, particularly the autonomic nervous system that controls your temperature regulation, I suppose that could have done it with the electrical thing. And so the nerves to your hands got a little fried, literally fried. But Miller, I'm having a hard time actually making that connection too. So so that's why I apologized in advance. I don't think I have a great answer to that. What is maybe more likely is that, especially for being cold, is that you have some kind of endocrine problem, some hormonal problem that might be unrelated to those events of your life. I would see an endocrinologist for that, and particularly to have your thyroid examined. Your thyroid is sort of the thermostat of your body, and I would have that part checked out. As for the your hands, and they're cold, you might see a neurologist for that, and they could do some nerve studies to see if that electrical shock caused some kind of nerve damage. So okay. Those are my suggestions.
All right. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Karen is calling us from Minnetonka. Karen, good morning. The doctor is listening.
Good morning, and thank you. This is the last resort, last hope type question for you, Dr. Hilden. I wonder, what would be your last recommendation for a physical treatment for non-source peripheral neuropathy in my feet, not a drug that I would take internally, but a physical treatment for the numbness, and it's going to be a question of whether or not I can drive anymore. I've had every test on the board. There's no source for it.
So, Karen, before you move on from that point, so they have tested to see that you're a diabetic or that you've got some
correct.
Other,
yes. I have nothing, like no source. No source for it. I have every test, seen a rheumatologist.
And it hurts so bad you couldn't drive, perhaps.
If something hurts, that's not comfortable. I can deal with it, but it's the numbness that causes me not to be able to drive safely. And then my driving is on the line now. It's very frustrating.
Karen, that does sound awfully frustrating. So we're going to think about things that are not tablets, not pills, not med, which is probably a good thing to do with neuropathies anyway. Well, let's think of the few things you can do. Topical things. I would imagine that not a lot of those are gonna work so well. But I know people who swear by essential oils. There might be some oils that you can put on there to help. I'm gonna say right off the bat, it's not gonna heal your damaged nerves. But insofar as that it might soothe the numbness, that you could try some of that, some peppermint oil. I'm not an expert on that, so I don't know exactly which specific one. But there, you could Google essential oils. Other things are I think I would probably see a physical therapist, and you maybe done this, and perhaps an occupational therapist, and talk about footwear things that will make it better for you. Because it might be more along the lines of preventing it from getting worse as opposed to making it better. But they could make sure that you're getting the correct stretching exercises, the correct foot massage type exercises. Maybe there's something with that. And for sure, the correct footwear. I think there is this is invasive, but you might talk to a neurosurgeon or a podiatrist to see if there's any kind of nerves that are getting pinched or nerves that are getting inflamed somehow, something with the anatomy of your foot. All of those, I have to say, everything I've just said, I don't think anything is going to reverse what you already have, but might be meant to more prevent things from getting worse. I'm sorry, Karen, that's a tough one because you've gone through all the tests, and especially since you don't have a cause. And I would, that is what I would have said. I would have said, find the cause, go and get more tests, because if it's a pinched nerve in your back, you can have that fixed by a neurosurgeon. And, or if it's due to some other diabetes or something, you can do some treatments for that. Those are some things I would try. I'm sorry I don't have much more than that, but best wishes to you. Those are some suggestions, I guess.
All right. Thanks, Karen. We need to take a break. We have more show to come. If you have a question, any kind of a general health question for Dr. Hilden, 651-989-9226. And there is a line open if you want to use it. Jan, you'll be next. Or send a text if that's easier, 81807. And welcome back to Healthy Matters this Sunday morning. You're driving the show with an open line show, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Here again is Dr. Hilden.
So I want to just a couple more comments about Karen's question about neuropathy that I've been thinking about during the break. Karen, you might try for your peripheral neuropathy, you might try acupuncture. We have plenty of them at Hennepin Healthcare, and that has been shown for reasons that escape me, but has been shown to be helpful for some neurologic problems. The texter line is lighting up about other people's ideas. Somebody suggesting celiac disease. But you said that's true. But you said you've had all the workup done. So, but it's the thing to look at is celiac disease. And here's another comment that's good. I wonder if this person has seen an occupational therapist before. The comment says, if you're concerned about driving, you can consider driving with hand controls.
Oh, okay.
And I think that is a great idea. Thank you for that, texter. Even if your neuropathy doesn't get better and you can't drive, you can get hand controls on your vehicle. That's a great idea as well.
All right. Let's go to Mankato. Jan has been waiting there to ask you a question. Go ahead, Jan. Thank you.
Hello. Our 50-year-old son, who is healthy in every other way, he's not overweight or anything, is going to need both of his hips replaced. Is it better to do one hip at a time or both at the same time?
Probably one at a time, Jan, especially for hips. In fact, I'm not sure surgeons will do two at once. I do know a few people who have done both knees at the same time, but even with knees, it's generally one at a time. So if your surgeon is saying it's okay to go either way, I would still probably do just one at a time. The rehab is a big deal. And with hip surgery, but it's a big deal only for a little while, and then people do really well. Hip surgeries are very successful types of surgery, so your son can get better, and he'll be just like new on the one side, which will make it easier to get the second one done at a later time. Now, I have to qualify that. I'm not a surgeon. I would always carefully consider the advice of your surgeon, but I think one at a time is probably the better way to go.
651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Let's see who's next. Chris in Springfield. Chris, you're on CCO.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. Good morning. I suffer from chronic lower back pain. I have had two microdiscectomies already, 12 months apart. Had a prior surgery for the same 10 years prior. They wanted to do a triple fusion, and I'm just wondering if there's any other options besides fusions out there that a person should look at or consider.
Chris, what are your main symptoms that you're still having?
I have severe pain down both legs. The nerve goes all the way to the feet, essentially. Disability. Once sitting for long durations, I have a hard time even getting up to walk.
Yeah. That you seem to be one of the folks for whom the surgeries aren't, maybe they're helping only for a temporary period of time. And a fusion's a bigger deal than a discectomy or a laminectomy or some of the smaller surgeries that they do. I would, if I were you and could, I would try to exhaust other possibilities before doing it. Because when you go to your surgeons, rightfully so, they're saying, well, that we did the first step. Here's the next step and here's the next step. There are a progression of more and more surgeries that you can do. But I think it's at least a healthy thing to do to just pause and say, is any surgery the best thing to do, or am I just going to get in a cycle of more and more and more? It may well be that a fusion will relieve your symptoms the best, but it will lead to some stiffer back, and you'll have, you know, your back is meant to be very flexible. Maybe you're beyond the point in your life when you can have a flexible back, so a surgery with a fusion might be an option. But like the other caller with the feet, I think I would exhaust other things first. I would try a physical therapist. You've probably done all this, but I would go back to a physical therapist, maybe go to a different one, maybe go to one who's a little more sports-related who deals with that kind of stuff. I would consider acupuncture. I would consider even medications if you need to try to alleviate your pain for a while, you know, for a few years, a while meaning a few years. Maybe there's something such a, you know, that could relieve the pain a little bit. And if none of those help, then I would perhaps go to get your surgery. What I also would recommend kind of maybe strongly is get a second opinion I'm not trying to call into question your surgeon's motives. They're offering you the next thing, and they're probably correct that is the next surgery that would help your problem. But I might get a second opinion just to see if they have anything else to offer.
A texter says, help, cold weather here again, and so are the splits in the skin on the sides of my fingernails. Just can't go around with Band-Aids at all of my fingers. Anything I can do, boy, I can relate to that.
I can picture this person with Band-Aids around
their... I've done
that. Have you really?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you and I were talking about this is many years ago. I bought a product, and I think you can get a generic house brand, a certain Walgreens or CVS brand of Aquaphor.
Aquaphor, yeah.
And it's a hand, it's not a cream. It's almost like a Vaseline kind of
Right.
Boy, does that
work?
It's
more of an ointment.
It's an ointment.
So that's what I would suggest to this texter. You've got probably, and it can get bad if your fingernails crack around the sides of them and the skin cracks and breaks open. You can get bacteria in there. You can get inflammation, and you can get a big swollen finger, a condition called paronychia. And so I agree. What you should do for this person is use a barrier type of moisturizer. Think of petroleum jelly.
Yeah,
that's more the consistency. And at hospitals, we use things like Aquaphor. That's a brand name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of – it has that barrier quality with moisturizers in there. Some people do this. They put that stuff on and then they put on some – a pair of like socks, athletic socks, and sleep at night.
That's right.
With socks on your hands after you've slathered on some of that heavy duty stuff. A little lotion isn't going to help. Well, it'll help, but you have to be even more a thicker. You know, in skincare, it goes from lotions, which are more watery, to creams, which are thicker, more toothpastey, all the way to these ointments, which are more like petroleum jelly. Go for something that says ointment on it, that's what I would suggest doing. And I do. I'm not kidding. Put an old pair of athletic socks on your hands at night to keep it just in there, so it doesn't get all over the bed linens.
Right.
Slather that stuff on. See if that doesn't help.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's get Bill in Bloomington's questions at least asked, and if we run out of time, we'll answer more of it after the break. Bill, what is your question, please?
Hey, first of all, hey, doctor, thanks for 10 years. That's great. That's a super, super thing and a good service for all of us here in Minnesota. Appreciate
Bill, thank you so much for saying that. Thanks a lot, Bill.
I have numbness on the bottom of my feet. I went swimming. Felt bad. Something was different. I went swimming. I blew it off. I went swimming again. Same feeling. And now no pain, just numbness. What do you think that might be?
Is your skin intact on your feet?
Yes.
And it's only after swimming?
No. It's all the time.
Oh, you have?
That's when I noticed it.
Oh, yeah. And it's probably the water and the change in temperature or something is...
Exactly. The rest of my body felt different.
Yeah, it's probably something like that. Now, I would again suggest to you, Bill, that first of all, you need to find the causes of neuropathy. And sometimes it's a pinched nerve. Sometimes it's what we call like a neuroma, which is a nerve sheath swelling on your feet. And I think that it feels weirder after swimming, just the cold water, the temperature change on the bottom of your feet is kind of perking up those nerves. I would see a foot person to see if it's any of those nerve problems. But of course, make sure you don't have vitamin deficiencies or diabetes. Diabetes would be the number one cause of neuropathy in this country. So make sure those are the case as well. And then good footwear. Make sure your shoes fit. They have the right kind of support for your arches of your feet. And then if all else fails, see a podiatrist.
Okay. I know we have to take a break, but a reminder, we have another half hour of the show to go. Folks who did not get their question answered still have a chance. 651-989-9226, or if it's easier, send us a text, and we'll pick up on those. 81807. 25 degrees in the Twin Cities. And welcome back to this portion of Healthy Matters. It's an open line show today, meaning you drive the show. Your questions for Dr. David Hilden by phone or by text. And as you can see, Doctor, we have a bunch of both. On this holiday weekend,
we do happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Yeah. I hope you had a peaceful and nice Thanksgiving, and that you're all exercising now to get rid of all that food that you ate
and get that flu shot
and get your flu shots. All kinds of good stuff you should be doing now. I hope you got your flu shot, everybody. I was saying that at the top of the first half hour of the show. I know a lot of people who say not inaccurately that, well, I never get the flu, but the point. Yeah, I've also never died in a car accident, but I still put my seatbelt on just because it hasn't happened the first time. But even more importantly than yourself, it is to protect the community. Vaccinations work the best. Well, they work really only at all when the vast majority of people get them. So do it for the community. There's a thing going around the internet that says, do it for grandma. Get your flu shot for your grandmother.
All right. So. Back to the phones we go. Lois is first up here in New Hope. Lois, the doctor is listening.
I had back surgery. This is a follow-up on the gentleman that called before. I had back surgery for the L4, L5, S1 probably 15 years ago. with the rod put in, and then they took the rod out because they thought it was rubbing against the soft tissue. Nothing has helped. It is better, but and that's 15 years ago, and I still exercise every day, morning and evening. It's not fun, but nobody else will do it for you. And I also suggest walking because that strengthens your legs. I could have surgery. It would be a 10-hour surgery at my age of 79, a year rehab if the surgery worked. So I just say I think most everybody that has a back issue continues to have, but just try and lessen it is my only suggestion. And I am on a pain program, which does help. So I can function because I still am a busy person and I love life, but I need to feel better. So thank you. Yeah. I hope the gentleman does exercise. Yeah. That is the best thing. Go to a physical therapist and get the correct exercise.
Lois, I could have paid you to make that phone call. That is exactly, I think that is better advice than I could have given. Consider the surgery, but what's probably most important is what you just said, physical therapy, exercise, walking every day. And the best line of that whole thing, the exercise line, no one else is going to do it for you.
That's right.
So that's terrific advice. Thanks, Lois.
Pat in Minneapolis is next on CCO. Go ahead, Pat.
Question about pain program. Does that mean pills?
Not always. Comprehensive pain management programs deal with a variety of what we call modalities. And so sometimes it is pills, sometimes it's medications, but very importantly, it's not just that. When you're in a comprehensive type of pain program, it usually involves some kind of therapy, some kind of exercise. It sometimes even involves mood and kind of your psychological health. Sometimes it involves acupuncture, massage therapy, physical occupational therapy, biofeedback therapy, and yes, pills. So pain is a subjective feeling of an objective noxious stimuli. Noxious in medicine means bad, evil, bad, noxious. And so when you have a bad stimuli, like a burn on a hot stove, that's a noxious stimuli. Pain is your reaction to that. If you have chronic pain, people with chronic pain have real pain. They're experiencing that kind of over and over and over. And it's not just medications. One thing I would say about medications for pain is that rightfully and finally, we are as a medical community and as society as a whole starting to understand the long-term effects of pain medications. And when I'm saying pain medications, I mainly mean opioids, which are the ones that arose from the poppy seed. The natural one is morphine, and now there's all the synthetic ones that you've heard about, like hydrocodone and oxycodone and fentanyl. These are dangerous in the long term and for a variety of reasons that I won't get into now. So a pain management program must include not just pills.
Very good. Let's see, who is next? Jake is calling in from Faribault, Minnesota. Jake, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Dr. Hilden, I was in the best hospital at HMC, and I got a question. I was in the burn unit, but they put a skin graft on my arm because I had compartment syndrome in my right arm, and they gave me a lotion that I could never replace. And now, after 15 years, it's starting to crack and peel. It started with an A, and it was a long slim white bottle.
Was it ammonium lactate? I bet it was.
Okay.
Are you looking for what it was?
Yeah, I'm looking to where it was and if I can get it or where I can
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, I don't know what you were. I'm glad you were in our burn unit because they are among the best in the business. Ammonium, like ammonia, but ammonium lactate, lactate, ammonium lactate. It has some brand names. The one I can remember is Lacthydrin. This is a brand name. I can't endorse any specific brand names, but it is the generic is ammonium lactate, but the one of the brand name is Lacthydrin. I think these are prescription only. I think I have written prescriptions for them, and they come in either tubes or sometimes they come in a big fat tub. So you might try your medical provider to get a prescription from ammonium lactate. It's a thick barrier-based hydrating cream that a lot of the skin experts use. So that's what I would try, Jake. In the absence of that, there's a zillion people who have texted in, literally a zillion, about what they do for their cracked fingers. And I know that's not what you're talking about, Jake, but a lot of people have talked about some other brands. You know, I've heard about Utter Cream. I've heard about O'Keefe's. I've heard about Aquaphor. These are all brand names. But the key is that you get something that has a barrier to it, more of an ointment. But as for what you got in the hospital, I know we use ammonium lactate.
Okay, very good. Let's go to St. Cloud, Minnesota. Nancy is there. Nancy, what is your question?
Oh, no, I have a solution for the cracks on your fingernails.
All right, what is it?
I just use, actually, lip balm, chapstick, and just run that on there, and it sticks on it, and just do it a few times on and off during the day when you think of it, and it clears up very well for me.
Nancy, I think that's a good idea. I like that idea as well, because, and you should use it on your lips as well, especially in the winter when things are really dry. But to put it around the edges of your fingernails makes perfect sense to me. I think that's a great idea. Thank you for that.
And we get somebody, we have all these some home remedies, but some person, the cracks in the fingers, they put super glue.
Super glue. Oh, there it is on the text line.
Don't you medical people do have some kind of a liquid bandage?
Yeah, we use super glue. It's not super glue, but it's a similar deal where instead of sutures, we sometimes glue skin together. I don't know if there's some chemical in super glue that I think we probably use medical grade super glue. I doubt they go down to their local hardware store and get that.
We have so many texts about cracked fingers.
There's more than I can read. Thank you to everybody who texted in about this. Several have said nail glue. So maybe fingernail glue is the fingernail glue, you know, where you put on nails, is better than going down to your hardware store and getting super glue.
Okay.
All right. Should we go? Let's go back to the phones.
Yeah. Brenda has been waiting in Brainerd. Brenda, thank you. What is your question?
Yes, my daughter has a persistent Achilles tendon problems. She'll rest, and then it'll get better. But then when she starts running again, it comes back. And I'm wondering about that thing that you put on your foot at night to stretch the Achilles tendon, or any other suggestion you might have that would make her feel better. She has now switched shoes from Asics to, I think it's Hoka or something like that.
Right.
On advice from her trainer, that shoe seems to help. But any suggestions you have would be welcome.
Okay, thanks for your call, Brenda. I'm not sure about the things at night to wear. What I'm saying is I don't know the brands or what to do. But your Achilles tendon, it is a stretching issue. So any way she can stretch it would be good. What I would recommend is making sure that she stretches it when it's warm. We used to, for those athletes who are listening, remember those days when you'd get out before your soccer game or your football game or your baseball game, you'd spend a half an hour stretching and it would be cold. And that's now found to be probably not such the way. You're on a cold, tight muscle and a tendon. So now they have you do more movement and you get loosened up, and runners even jog for a mile before they even stretch. But once your muscles are warmed and your tendons and ligaments are all kind of loosened up, that's the time to stretch. I'll bet your daughter already does that, however. I'd strongly recommend post-exercise stretching regimen. And this is one of those do what I say, not what I do's. I'm a runner, and my wife always says she's more of a stretchy type of person. She always says, well, did you stretch after you run? And I always say, no, because I don't know. I lose patience with it. But it's still the right bit of advice. After exercising, longer stretches, not just like 10 seconds of grabbing your shoelaces and stretching your quads. I would do stretches after and stretch each Achilles tendon. You mentioned shoes. I think that is, if she has a trainer or a shoe expert, that would be for a runner or an athlete, if that's what she's doing, probably the second most important thing, maybe the first most important thing, is to have well-fitting shoes with the right amount of pronation and the right amount of supination so you don't stretch your Achilles tendons in weird ways. As for the boot to wear at night or the Achilles stretcher, I'm going to not give any specific advice on that because I just don't know. I would see a sports-related physical therapist, a sports-related physician, or somebody who could give you that advice. It makes a little bit of sense to me, but I don't want to give you bad advice. I'm a little hesitant to do anything that puts your foot into a specific position and leaves it there. And, you know, immobilizing the foot never seems like a great idea when an active person. But see a physical therapist on that.
Let's take a quick break, Doctor. We'll have more show to come. It's an open line show today here on Healthy Matters. Overcast here in the Twin Cities. Our CCO temperature reading 24. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Healthy Matters. It's an open line show today, and I know, Dr. Hilden, you have a lot of text messages that we'd like to answer.
Indeed, Danny. I'll try to go quickly through some of these. Let's see. How much Lasix per day is too much? From the text line. Lasix is a diuretic, or otherwise known as a water pill, given for things like heart failure, other conditions where you have too much fluid in your body. There's not really an upper limit of the dose of Lasix, but there are side effects. So what we generally do is find the lowest effective dose that works and that makes you urinate a lot. That's the goal, and stick with that. When you get to very high doses, you can have things, you can get a lot of electrolyte problems. And you can even get problems with your ears. It can cause deafness. But I have people on couple 300 milligrams a day, which is a lot. And so I don't know how much the texture's on, but talk to your doctor that prescribes it. Here's one that says, what do you think of CBD hemp oil, mainly for pain relief and for lowering blood sugars? That's from Jim. CBD is a cannabidiol. It is one of the substances in hemp, the same plant that you get marijuana from. But CBD is unlike marijuana, which has THC, which is something like tetrahydro. I don't know what it is. It's THC gets you high. CBD is thought. It is thought to have a lot of the similar properties to the THC without getting you high, therefore being safe. And it's really promising. I don't have any medical evidence that it does anything, but that's just because there's a lack of medical evidence because no one studied it. It is thought to be reasonably good for seizures. It might help for some anxiety, and it might help for things like pain and nausea and other things, but there's simply no data. One thing I think that is probably clear is that it is not harmful. It is probably not addictive. It is probably safe, but we just don't have any data. But I would put it in the promising category. Okay, let's go to another one. Another text line that says, what are the possible causes of blood in semen? I have no pain and your analysis shows nothing. So I think it may, I hate the phrase it goes without saying because I'm going to say it. It's not normal. And you should probably look into that. You can have a simple infection that is not in your urinary system, but is more in your reproductive system. So you can have problems in your testes, in your epididymis. These are all male organs that are involved in reproductive health. And it can be things from just non-infectious inflammation to blocked ducts. If nothing else, the male reproductive system is a bunch of ductwork. They can be blocked. It can be something in your testicles. It can be cancerous. And so in that last reason, it could be prostate or testicular or some other kind of cancer that you should have it looked at. And it might not show up in a urinalysis. So go to a urologist, a specialist in that kind of thing, a urologist. If you need one, Hennepin's got a great team of urologists. That's where I practice in Minneapolis. There's three or four of them that are all just outstanding. They can help you out. Okay, let's see. Let's go to another one. Here's someone that says, yes, only one hip at a time.
We had a call
earlier. Should you do them both at the same time? And I recommended one at a time, and this texter is in agreement with that. Do your hips one at a time in all likelihood. Here's another text that says, why does a person have a hard time swallowing when they're eating? And then if they swallow, sometimes it comes back up like an acid reflux. What do you do about that? Any type of swallowing problems ought to be seen by a gastroenterologist where they can do what we call swallow studies, either a radiologic procedure with x-rays or sometimes they put a camera down your throat. Probably one of the most common causes is indeed acid reflux, but there are other causes. You can get strictures or narrowing of your esophagus. You can get inflammatory conditions, esophagitis, which just irritates your esophagus, and so you try to swallow and it comes back up. You can have functional problems where the muscles of your esophagus just aren't working right. There's a condition called achalasia that does that. There's even a condition called nutcracker esophagus because it hurts so bad. It hurts when you try to swallow. All of these are conditions that have some treatments for them. And if you're swallowing and it's coming back up, you ought to look and see what they are. So go see, you can start with your primary care doctor, but the next step would probably be a gastroenterologist. Okay, what else do we have here?
Still have so many about the cracked fingers.
There's so many texts about cracked fingers that I'm trying to find some other issues. But, you know, I do appreciate all of you. I especially like this one from the person in the hair industry who has dealt with it for decades because has wet hands all day long and solved it with nail glue. So that's a good one to try. Oh, here's something that's a different one. My mother recently was diagnosed with lymphedema in her legs. Could acupuncture help? I think it might.
What is that?
Lymphedema is fluid that has leaked out of your lymph system. It is often due to what am I trying to say? The most common one is a woman who has had a mastectomy for breast cancer gets a swollen arm on that same side because they disrupted the lymph system in the lymph nodes and your arm swells up. It can happen in the legs as well. And sometimes it's just in older people. So the first thing I would try to do is find out the cause to see if there's anything that needs to be reversed. So go to your doctor for that. Acupuncture may or may not help for that. I'm not an expert at that, but I think it's possible that it might. And so talk to your acupuncture therapist for that.
We have a minute to go.
A minute. I probably don't have much more time here. Here's a person that wants to know when to I'll just paraphrase it. Works two jobs, is 75 years old, and is getting tired at the end of every week, wants to know some tips about when to retire. Now, I know this isn't a retirement show, but I'd say there is medical evidence, however, that if you are in your work and you get meaning out of your work and it gives you purpose and something to do, that you might live longer. So, age is just a number. Retire when your work is no longer financially needed and when it's no longer bringing your meaning, but you don't have to retire if you enjoy what you do.
And if you need a primary care doc,
please check us out at Hennepin Healthcare. Our number is 612-873-6963, or I encourage you to check out myhealthymatters.org. Myhealthymatters.org. That's the website associated with the show, myhealthymatters.org.
See you back here next week.
Thanks, Denny.
Very good. Dr. David Hilden from Hennepin Health. We do hope you join us next week here on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.